Let's get to Sean Darby, Chief Global Equity Strategist at Jefferies. Sean, Powell promised pain, and it looks like we're going to get some pain here, not only from the Fed, but from the deleterious effects of inflation. And the thing is that it just takes some time. This is not like the GFC, and it probably isn't even like the pandemic, in that the Fed knows what to do. It will raise interest rates. Eventually, inflation will come down, but it takes some time. Cue the pain.
It does. Unfortunately, we live in a world where rates tend to only have a lag effect on economic activities, and that's these rate assumptions that are being pushed around now for 100 basis points at the next meeting are really going to only hit the economy sort of some 6 to 9 months later. So the irony may be that this curve inversion that we have and have had for now a good 3 to 4 months is going to persist for much longer, and that runs the risk subsequently of having some spillover effects into the financial system, which is, of course, where the markets are more worried about in the last 24 hours.
Mm. Of course, those inflation numbers are a lagging indicator as well. They were hotter than expected, but still lower. What's your timeline now for inflation getting back within the Fed's window?
So that's a good question. I think the reality is the headline number was sort of heading towards a sort of 3.8% handle for the end of 2023. That still looks reasonably achievable. But the more difficult one is the core CPI, because that really showed that actually demand was pretty strong. If you look at the service price inflation for things like travel, education, they all rose. So the demand side of the equation hasn't yet balanced, and therefore that core CPI is going to remain sticky, and that is what I think again has prompted the sell-off on Wall Street last night, is that we're not only going to have higher short rates, but they're going to remain much, much longer. Mm. And I think, to say this comes back to the curve inversion, it's going to be pretty painful going into the early part of next year.
So we're seeing proof positive that the Fed doesn't care too much about stock prices going down. It did care about them going up. But what it does care about is the plumbing. And you just hinted a few moments ago that we might see some issues in the plumbing. Can you sort of give us the transmission mechanism for that?
Well, there's a lot of similarities for this cycle to the Y2K period after 2000, where the central banks left policy way too loose and then had to come back and tighten up again. And what you found was that the credit markets seized up. Actually, there was no role as a capital markets conduit, and the same for the stock market. And you actually had a recession during that period. Companies not being able to refinance would go to the wall. Bankruptcies would rise, and then you have a more typical downturn. And I think that's the risk that's sort of coming into the headlights now, is that we will get a pretty restrictive policy where loan growth and capital markets are actually pretty tough for companies to raise money. But it's not seen in the data yet. As I say, Everything comes with a lag.
Sean, we've heard from a number of commentators about this hotter than expected inflation print. Larry Summers, Nomura, now think that maybe the Fed's going to hike rates by 100 basis points when it meets next week. What was already an interesting meeting just got a whole lot more pointy. What do you see the Fed doing?
Well, the house view is being raised actually from 50 basis points, I think, a week or so ago to 75. And I don't think there was any necessary change to that view last night. I think what it does do is raise the prospects of maybe bigger hikes in subsequent meetings. And I think the market consensus was that this meeting would be the peak of peaks, if I may use that euphemism, and that we wouldn't get any further shocks or surprises. And I think what probably troubled Wall Street yesterday was that was removed from the table. There is a reasonable probability of 100 basis points, but I think the more likely course is that we're going to get bigger numbers at the subsequent meetings. I think that's the way that Wall Street played out yesterday.
So at Jackson Hole, the comments from Jay Powell seemed like really soft landing was just not in the picture, really. And then we had Lael Brainard sort of raise that back up, and markets definitely responded to that. And now we're back to this. I mean, should we really forget about a soft landing here? They're going to have to push the economy into recession to get inflation down to acceptable levels.
Well, that's, I think, probably now more the more likely course. As I said, unfortunately, the yield curve is going to keep inverted, and the longer you have that deep inversions, the more difficult it is really to come out. So I looked last night, for example, and we had a pretty good 30-year Treasury auction. So, you know, there was a lot of attraction, or the reach for yield was still there. But paradoxically, credit spreads were well behaved. So perversely, I think if you want to gauge about how much distress has got to be pushed into the real economy, we're going to have to see a widening of credit spreads from here. And that, you know, presages a much higher default rate and much more difficult economic conditions in which you try to have to revive yourself from subsequently.
Well, we're probably going to see a stampede for the exits when we get going at the top of the hour. Have you been changing your strategy? How do you hedge against what's about to happen?
So I've been wrong-footed by the moves in the last 24 hours. So I'm, you know, myself are going to have to probably issue a mea culpa, which is, just to support some. It's difficult for the financials, I think, is where I would put things at the moment. It's hard to see any respite for home builders, the banks, consumer finance. That's the area that's really the Fed is going to have to target. He's got to restrict loan growth. He's got to tighten up financial conditions. And that's the sector that's going to bear the brunt. So we're going to have to issue a mea culpa on being too early on the interest rate sensitives.
I mentioned that we wanted to talk a little bit about U.S.-China. I know that it's really eclipsed by this big story about inflation, but we did see more from the Biden administration. Now they're talking about sanctions over Taiwan. We heard about this push for the biotech industry. Big sell-off here with WuXi Biologics and WuXi AppTech. These are troubled waters.
It is. I think things are working on a number of different levels. I mean, if you go back 4 or 5 months ago, there was a great hope that the actual tariffs would be removed, and that hasn't happened. We've had the CHIPS Act go through in the United States, which is subsidies for building the semiconductor plants in the United States, and now, of course, funding for biotech. I think on the biotech side, it's a little bit more of a difficult one because actually the U.S. leads in most of those industries. So there's not a race to catch up in that way. But I guess what it's saying is that they'll have to, they're going to match China's pace of technology growth in that area, and that's the funding route that's going to be given to them. So it's a subsidy, and we're coming back to this thing about national champions.
Yeah.
All right, Sean Darby, Chief Global Equity Strategist at Jefferies. Thanks, as always, for joining us on Bloomberg at Daybreak Asia.